step, we trace the way. Step by step, we trace his blessed way. Step by step, we trace his blessed way. Guiding our hearts day by day. Guiding our hearts day by day.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم has encouraged us to recite salawat upon him صلى الله عليه وسلم and he صلى الله عليه وسلم has told us of the many benefits that we receive if we recite salawat upon him. One of those benefits is in the hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the one who recites salawat upon me once, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers 10 mercies upon him. Yes, 10 mercies upon the one who recites salawat just once. Subhanallah azza wa jalla. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We welcome our viewers of Madani Channel to a wonderful new silsila, a new program on Madani Channel, especially for the blessed month of the birth of our Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the blessed month of Rabi'ul Awwal, or as some may say, Rabi'ul Noor, subhanallah azza wa jal, for this month is so filled with Noor, alhamdulillah, upon the arrival of the Noorani personality of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So subhanallah azza wa jal, this wonderful program that is being broadcasted to you on Madani Channel is regarding the chronology of the prophetic life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inshallah azza wa jal, over 12 episodes with the nisbat to the 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal, inshallah azza wa jal. Over 12 episodes, we are going to discuss the chronology of the prophetic life of the beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam, basically the timeline of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all the way from his blessed birth, all the way to his blessed wafat. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, over these 12 episodes. And today, to start it off, we are discussing the blessed childhood of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the blessed childhood of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So yes, many do learn of the seerah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but we learn of the seerah from the latter part of his blessed zahiri hayat, of his blessed apparent life on this dunya, especially the Madani period, the period of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Madinatul Munawwara. But inshallah azza wa jal, on this episode we're going to start from the blessed childhood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inshallah azza wa jal. And I'm very honored to be blessed with two special guests who alhamdulillah are not strangers to Madani Channel. Our beloved and honorable Maulana Abdul Qadir Sahib on my right and our honorable Maulana Suhail Sahib on my left. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. They are both Muballighun of Dawat Islami that are working in the Durban area of South Africa, alhamdulillah, and broadcasting from the studios of Madani Channel in South Africa, alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Maulana Abdul Qadir, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
JazakAllah for joining us on this episode. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. May Allah accept your efforts.
Ameen.
Ameen. And Mawlana Suhail Sahib, marhaba bika.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. How's Mawlana Sahib?
Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah.
Actually, an honor, Sidi, to be in your company and mashallah to explore this wonderful, you know, prophetic life journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi
wasallam. Subhanallah. We know that just 12 episodes is not really sufficient for us to be able to explore the entire life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but at least over these 12 episodes, inshallah, we can learn some of the blessed life of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are very hopeful that Munasa will be with us throughout this journey from the beginning to the end, inshallah.
Inshallah, Sayyidi.
Jazakallah, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Firstly, alhamdulillah, Allah azza wa jal has blessed us so immensely. Subhanallah azza wa jal, we are so blessed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us the ummatis of his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of the most praised of the servants of Allah subhanahu subhanahu wa ta'ala. And indeed, our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name actually means the one who is most praised.
Subhanallah.
From the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad means the one who is extremely praised. And indeed, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's praises have been sung in the past, in the present, and will be sung in the future, up to even on the day of judgment. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be praised. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his name is Muhammad. He is the son of Abdullah.
Subhanallah.
And subhanallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would trace his genealogy all the way up to Sayyidina Adnan. Subhanallah azza wa jal. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew his genealogy, most definitely knows it, and he shared it as well. So up to today, people study the forefathers of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and leading all the way to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, because Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he is known as Abul Anbiya. He's the father of many prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes from his blessed lineage through Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, all the way to our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. But the father of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, him being Abdullah, his name was Abdullah, and Abdullah means the slave or the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So subhanallah azza wa jal, we can say this is ism ba musamma, that this is his name, and really in reality he lived his life as the devoted slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. He was a great personality, actually a wonderful great personality, who was muwahid, who believed in the oneness of Allah, who was a believer as well. As our ulama ikram advise us, the beloved father of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a strikingly handsome man as well.
Subhanallah.
So he had beauty, subhanallah, internally and spiritually, and he also had beauty apparently as well, because he had the nur of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam implanted in him. He is the father of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so his blessed face was bright. And alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, him being so handsome, many of the ladies of Makkatul Mukarrama wanted to marry him. Many of the fathers of the girls or the ladies of Makkatul Mukarrama wanted to marry their daughters to Sayyidina Abdullah. But Sayyidina Abdullah's father, Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib, who inshallah very soon we will learn about, Sayyidina Abdullah's father was looking for a suitable lady. And in the time that he was looking for a suitable lady, Sayyidina Abdullah once went out hunting. And he went out hunting for an animal or for animals. And during the hunting, he was being attacked and being attacked by some people. And whilst they were trying to attack him, Allah Azza wa Jalla saved Sayyidina Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Wow. And among the people that witnessed that was the father of a beautiful and pious lady of Makkatul Mukarrama, the father of Sayyida Amina radiyallahu ta'ala anha. So he went back home and he requested and he proposed the marriage of his daughter Sayyida Amina radiyallahu ta'ala anha for Sayyidina Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And that nikah took place, subhanallah. So we have this great personality, Sayyidina Abdullah, being the father of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the wonderful personality with pure and beautiful akhlaq and pure and beautiful in spirituality as well, Sayyidina Amina radiyallahu ta'ala anha, being the mother of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah azza wa jal, both of them were from very noble lineage. And the father of Sayyidina Abdullah, his name is Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib. Now, Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib, he's a very well-known personality, and I would love that Mulana Abdul Qadir Sahib, I would request of you, please, can you share a little bit about Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu with us and with the viewers of Madini channel, so that we may be also taken aback and pleased and happy to hear of the grandfather of our most beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Subhanallah, Sayyidi, in the lineage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, All were great, subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
From Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the greatest of all.
Yes.
Going upwards in the lineage, alhamdulillah, Sayyidina Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala, who you have mentioned, great personality, Allahu Akbar. It's in his name, Abdullah.
Yes.
Subhanallah. And which leaves us with no doubt, alhamdulillah.
Absolutely.
And then his father, Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib.
Mm-hmm.
Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiyallahu ta'ala, who his actual name was Shayba. And alhamdulillah, he was a great personality. He was the leader of the tribe. And He was also the caretaker of the well of Zamzam.
Wow.
The same Zamzam around which the Ashiqani Rasul, they flock to taste from that water which has shifa, subhanallah. And he was also the custodian of the Holy Kaaba.
Subhanallah.
Wow.
And the incident of the people of Elephant, it also occurred in the time of Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anhu.
Subhanallah azza wa jalla.
And Abraha came with his army. It is mentioned in Surah Al-Fil in the Holy Quran. Abraha came with his army full of ego.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going head to head with the Qudrat of Allah, ma'azallah. And then when that happened, people of Makkah, they fled the residence. And now they took shelter in the mountains.
Oh.
And Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the army of Abraha, they captured the animals of Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So he went to ask for his animals.
Right.
And Abraha said, very funny, you are not concerned about the house of Allah, which was your recognition, the symbol mm-hmm. of the greatness of Makkah Mukarramah. You are concerned about your animals. He said, yes,
Allahu Akbar.
I own the animals, so I'm concerned about them. The owner of Kaaba will inshallah take care of it.
Subhanallah. Look at the tawakkul found. The tawakkul that is found within Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib, that he knows that this is the house of Allah. I am just a caretaker. The one who will truly protect the house of Allah is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. From what Mulana is mentioning, it is so amazing to see that honor, dignity, and generosity, we can say it's within the genes of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it's embedded into him sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family, that from his lineage you see that each personality is just so honorable.
And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says with regards to his lineage and its purity,
right,
he says, I've been transferred from pure backs to pure wombs.
Wow.
Subhanallah. That should remove any doubt that the parents of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were the believers, they were the monotheists, and they were those who had belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And mashallah, there are great ulama who have written research theses on this subject, but that is not our focal point of discussion here. But alhamdulillah, we should know that there is a consensus.
Yes.
Of the great ulama, the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the parents of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we have consensus that they were believers.
Subhanallah, most definitely. If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is speaking of their purity, then we do not doubt the words of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That definitely the parents and the lineage of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his blessed forefathers, most definitely they were believers, and most definitely they were pure. And subhanallah azza wa jal, the outcome as well, from those great personalities, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought forth his beloved, the noble personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Munasab made mention of a very significant incident, a very significant and a very important incident before the birth of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why this is so important is that Amul Fil, the year of the elephant, was the year in which our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born approximately just 55 days after the incident of the elephant. After the incident of Abraha and his army being destroyed when they wanted to attack the Kaaba of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanallah, that became known as the year of the elephant. And it was the practice of Arabs at that time. Since there was no calendar in place the way we have a calendar today, alhamdulillah, we use the Hijri calendar. The calendar according to the Hijra of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah al-Munawwarah. And inshallah azza wa jal, we make niyat that we're going to discuss that as well. The Hijra, that significant migration from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah al-Munawwarah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that had made and formed our calendar. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. We're going to discuss that in this silsila, inshallah, in this program at a later episode. So you please stay with us all the way to the end, inshallah. Subhanallah azza wa jal. And the year of the elephant, that Amul Fil, was the year of the birth of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In fact, just 55 days plus minus after the incident of the elephant, our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, our beloved, our master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was born. And what a wonderful, what a miraculous birth that was. That was a birth that had brought Noor into the dunya. Yes, before it was the period of Jahiliyyah, period of ignorance, the period of darkness. But when the guiding light had come to the world, this world had shone. This world had become bright because the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had reached this world by the means of the birth, the arrival of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mulana Sahib, we would really appreciate it if Mulana Sahib could take us through a little bit with the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, enlighten our hearts, those lovers of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who want to hear of the arrival of their beloved. Everyone loves the arrival of their beloved. Our beloved is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Please illuminate our hearts by telling us of the arrival of our beloved.
Subhanallah. Sayyidi, he arrived as a guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of this great phenomenon. And he states, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٍ.
Allahu Akbar.
That light has come to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
And what happens when light comes? Our faces are brightened, alhamdulillah. Our hearts are overjoyed when we see light. You know, you shine a light in a, let's say there's load shedding and somebody just switches on the light. Subhanallah. And this is borrowed light.
Yeah.
Artificial light. And we are talking about the real light of Allah. Subhanallah. Nurullah. And he arrived, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he arrived, Sayyidi, the world was illuminated. The Zoroastrian fire that was on for 1,000 years, it went off.
Wow.
The idols in the Holy Kaaba that were there in the Haram, all fell flat on their faces.
Wow, subhanAllah.
When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, he was born in the state of sajda.
SubhanAllah, subhanAllah.
And the Shair very beautifully captures this entire, you know, scenario. And he says, Budshikan aya ye kehkar sar ke bal bud gir pade jhum kar kehta tha kaaba as-salatu was-salam. And then he says, Rabbi habli ummati kehte huwe paida huwe Rab ne farmaya ki bakhsha as-salatu was-salam. So we are talking about the arrival of that Nabi, subhanallah.
So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had feeling and love for his ummah even from his birth and all the way through his life. Our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loves us so much. Most definitely, now we understand why we feel so happy when we hear about the person who loves us so much. Subhanallah.
So, you know, when we express our sentiment of love in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's not based on nothing.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. Because I haven't known of anyone who has so much of concern about his nation than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for his ummah. For us, we are sitting, we weren't even there at the time.
Yes.
And he had concern for us.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. And why do we celebrate his birthday? Subhanallah. His milad? Allahu Akbar. You know, many people celebrate their birthdays. And birthdays of many people are celebrated throughout the year. But the most celebrated birthday ever is the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it will continue to be celebrated until the day of judgment. This is that milad of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidi, there is a beautiful incident of the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should encourage us to celebrate his milad.
Alhamdulillah.
Abu Lahab, who is the ardent enemy of Allah, and he is the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the same time.
Allahu Akbar.
And he is such an enemy who is mentioned in the Quran by name.
Allahu Akbar.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curses that person in the Holy Quran.
Allah.
But you know, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was born, because the nephew is born in the family. He didn't know. And the slave girl, Suwaiba, she came running, giving glad tidings of the birth of his nephew. And in the happiness of the birth of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Lahab, what he did? He freed her with the gesture of his finger. Subhanallah.
Allah Akbar.
And then later on, he became one of the greatest enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he is punished for that when he died. And he is punished in his grave. Family members, they saw him in the dream. And he was being punished. So they asked him, what is your state? He said, I'm in a very bad state. I have been punished in various ways, but there's only one moment of relief that I receive. I am fed from my index finger, the same finger with which I gestured to free my slave girl Suwaiba when she came and gave me the glad tiding of the birth of my nephew Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Wow. Subhanallah.
Just imagine, Sayyidi, if this is the case of an enemy of Allah, enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that even he is given relief from punishment and he has been given some respite.
Right.
On accord of the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and its celebration, then imagine we as Ummah, when we celebrate his birthday, subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
What reward would Allah azza wa jal give us for celebrating the birth of that noble Mustafa sallallahu alayhi
wa sallam? Subhanallah, what a nurani incident it was in the history of Islam. This subhanallah, where the world was filled with nur upon the arrival of our beloved nurani personality, the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah azza wa jal, what a nurani morning that must have been when the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born. And the time of the birth of the beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was at the time of Subah Sadiq, that is the break of dawn. So that too shows us, subhanallah, how the beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes into the world and he removes the darkness as the morning removes the darkness of the night. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. And subhanallah, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali encapsulates this praise and the nur of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam arriving and continuing in this world by his beautiful kalam that inshallah azza wa jal we're going to recite together with the viewers of Madani channel. Please do pay attention, listen carefully, and if you can recite male folk, you may recite aloud. Female folk, if they are ghaib mahrams, then you don't recite aloud unless they are only mahrams around you. Subhanallah azza wa jal.
Subh taiba mein hui batita hai bada noor ka subh taiba mein hui batita hai bada noor ka sadqa lene noor ka aaya hai tara sadqa lene noor ka aaya hai tara noor ka Allah 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 taj wale sab gharana noor ka Megda tum badsha bhar de piyala noor ka Megda tum badsha bhar de piyala noor ka Megda tum badsha bhar de piyala sadqa noor ka allah 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 ae raza ae ahmed e noori ka faiz e noor hai raza ye ahmed e noori ka faiz e
Subhanallah, subhanallah, this Noorani personality of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and subhanallah azza wa jal, that Noor is still present in the dunya, alhamdulillah, through the light of Islam that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has brought to us. And subhanallah azza wa jal, as Sayyidi Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi said, teri nasle paak mein hai bacha bacha Noor ka, that alhamdulillah, up to today, you find the descendants of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that Noor of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is passing through his blessed descendants as well. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. So our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his birth already he's Noor, and he's this Noorani personality that brings so much of barakah. Subhanallah azza wa jalla. He was born to this blessed mother, Sayyida Amina radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And I'm sure he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam illuminated her life even further as well. And subhanallah azza wa jalla, imagine the time that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with his blessed mother and with his blessed foster mother as well. Subhanallah, how he must have filled their lives as well with barakah and with nur. Mawlana sahib, if I may request as well, that can Mawlana sahib please share with us the childhood, the upbringing of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the time of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's fosterage as well. Please do share and enlighten our hearts as well with that.
Alhamdulillah, you know, this fostering part, mashallah, is such a beautiful part, subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
The taking care of the beloved of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah. And the first person actually to nurse Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Sayyidatuna Shuwayba radiallahu ta'ala.
Wow, subhanallah.
And thereafter, Sayyidatuna Amina radiallahu ta'ala.
She's the mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah.
And thereafter, Sayyidatuna Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha.
MashaAllah.
So from Sayyidina Thuwayba, and subhanallah, that was the very same slave that was freed by Abu Lahab.
Yes.
Upon the birth of Rasulullah.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. So we know of Sayyidina Thuwayba radiallahu ta'ala anha because Mawlana Sahib just mentioned to us just now that she was the freed slave of Abu Lahab. She brought the news of the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Abu Lahab. Then we know Sayyidina Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha because she's the blessed biological mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Mawlana Sahib mentioned Sayyida Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha. Please share a little about her.
Subhanallah. So in the Arabian world back then, they had this mindset, or you know, it was like a norm, that when their children were born, then they would send their children away from the cities to villages.
Mm-hmm.
And why so? Because of the environment.
Right.
And also that because of that fresh environment, that clean environment, everything is natural. So the children will grow healthy,
subhanAllah.
And also that will save them from, you know, getting ill and having bugs, etc. And also, another reason is that they were sent to the villages so that they learn the pure Arabic language.
Right.
As because of living in the city, you know that Makkah al-Mukarramah was a central point of trade as well.
Yes.
That people from all over the world would come. So you have different languages. Mm-hmm. Then also the Arabic language, you know, was the original, and then you had the one that was informal Arabic. So you had the original Arabic and you had the informal Arabic. So the Arabs wanted their children to learn the pure Arabic language.
MashaAllah.
So back to now, Sayyidatuna Halima radiallahu ta'ala subhanahu. So she actually back then, the poor villages, you know, the women folk, they saw this as an opportunity for them to actually earn from that.
Mm-hmm.
So when, you know, there were times when a group of women would come from the villages to the cities,
mm-hmm.
you know, to get these children, to foster them so that they could earn from this.
Okay.
And Sayyidatuna Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha, she relates that she was on a journey to Makkah to Mukarramah with the Banu Sa'd.
Right.
That was the name of her tribe, subhanAllah.
Right.
And she says that while they were on this journey, there was a very huge drought. And because of this drought, Allahu Akbar, she could not produce milk to feed the child that she was fostering,
mm-hmm.
you know, on the journey. And also the animals, the camels, they could not produce milk, as well as her mule could not keep up with the caravan. Because of this drought, Allah. But, you know, because of this difficulties, a lot of, you know, the tribe, they got annoyed with this. But eventually, they reached Makkah al-Mukarramah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they reach Makkah al-Mukarramah,
right.
So, you know, obviously, they're going to meet with the families to get the children, the babies, to foster them. So, what happened was, you know, it was known also that Sayyidatuna Halima radiallahu ta'ala could not produce much milk. So, you know, families, you know, didn't want to give her their children.
Mm-hmm.
So other women folk would get children. And so what happened was, no one wanted to take our beloved Nabi
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Reason being is because he was an orphan.
Sallallahu
alayhi wa sallam. Why they were hesitant to take orphan children was because there wasn't much privileges for him. But Sayyidatuna Halima radiallahu ta'ala subhanahu, she decided to take Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. Subhanallah.
She didn't want to leave empty-handed, subhanAllah. And, you know, in her heart was this, that to the barakah of this child, she will get barakah in her life.
SubhanAllah.
But in fact, Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he came to illuminate the life of Sayyidatuna Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha and Sayyidatuna Amna radiallahu ta'ala, but rather the entire universe, subhanAllah. And when Sayyidatuna Halima takes Nabi Kareem sallallahu subhanAllah into the tent, as she takes him, subhanAllah, and she sees that she is able to produce milk.
Wow, already the blessings.
Already the blessings. For the baby that she had, she was fostering, and Nabi Huzur sallallahu ta'ala.
SubhanAllah.
They drank to the extent, subhanAllah, until they were comfortable, and they stepped away, subhanAllah.
Wow.
SubhanAllah. And also the camel that they had, both Sayyidatuna Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha, as well as her husband, they both drank milk from the camel. The camel produced milk, subhanAllah.
Alhamdulillah.
And another surprising thing, subhanAllah, that when they embarked back on their journey to the village,
right,
the mule that they had,
yes,
as I mentioned previously, that the mule could not keep up with the caravan.
Yes, yes.
But when they were leaving back to the village,
uh-huh.
the caravan could not keep up with the mule.
Allahu Akbar.
SubhanAllah.
Alhamdulillah, Sayyidi, you mentioned the barakah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was immediately, you know, it became manifest, subhanAllah, upon all and sundry.
Alhamdulillah.
And while she was going back, Muasab mentioned that, you know, when she was on her way from her tribe to Makkah Mukarramah,
mm-hmm.
her mule was slow.
Right.
That it couldn't keep up pace with the other animals in the caravan. And then when she had Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with her, what happened?
SubhanAllah.
Alhamdulillah, miracles were witnessed along the way back to the tribe of Banu Sa'd. And mashallah, while Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there in the care of Sayyidah Halima Sa'diyah radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she was breastfeeding him, And it is mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when she would present to him her right breast, he would drink from them. And when she would present to him the left breast, he wouldn't touch. Why? Because that was the share of the foster brother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Sayyidi Ala Hazrat beautifully captures this scenario and he says, Bhaiyon ke liye tarke pista kare, doodh peeto ki nisfat pila ko salam.
Subhanallah.
And mashallah, the ulama have mentioned why, what was the wisdom of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taking one breast and leaving the other. They said because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his wisdom, he knew that this is his share and that is the share of my brother. Look at the justice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is alhamdulillah establishing justice and equality from the time he is being breastfed.
Subhanallah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Generosity, subhanallah. And mashallah, you know, after witnessing all these barakah, you know, while Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam was with Sayyidina Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha, the agreement was that after a while to return the child. So after 2 years, Ma Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha, she returned the Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam back to Sayyidatuna Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah azza wa jalla. That must have been a challenging moment, most definitely. For her to return the child who had brought so much of barakah into her life.
And she didn't voluntarily do so, Sayyidi. Alhamdulillah. It was due to an unpleasant event that happened. To her, it was something that shocked her.
Right.
That, you know, and they were so much in love with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They couldn't stand to see anything go wrong with the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you know, she cared for him like her own children.
Yes.
And she was a true mother to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she knew that this is no ordinary child.
Yes.
And it so happened that children of Sayyida Halima Sadia radiallahu ta'ala anha, they would go to graze their goats in the pastures. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a child, he would ask her that, you know, I see my brothers, they go during the day, I don't see them here. Where do they go?
Right.
He says, yes, they go to graze the goats. That's why you don't find them here at home. And then he would say, but I also want to go. I want to help out. Subhanallah. And due to his insisting on going out, and mashallah, then Sayyida Halima Saadiya radiallahu ta'ala, she gave in. Mashallah. Who can say no to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And being the merciful mother, she allowed him. And she left him in the care of her children. And while they were grazing the goats, this incident happened. Man came dressed in white clothing. He tore open the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Looking at this incident, the foster brother, he is shocked. He runs straight home, reporting it to Sayyida Halima Sadia radiallahu ta'ala anha, that this is what happened to our brother. Somebody came and tore his chest open. And she was terrified by this. She ran to see what happened to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When she goes there, she sees that his face is turned pale and he's looking nervous. He's looking a little bit scared. And then she asked him what had happened. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrated the entire incident, that he took out my heart, then he put something in there and he stitched it back together. And Sayyida Halima Saadiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, now, I mean, there was no open heart surgery ever done before that.
Right.
Allahu Akbar. So she wouldn't know how to react to it. And she thought maybe it's some supernatural phenomenon that has happened to him. Perhaps it was the spell of some jinn. Ma'azallah. And terrified by this experience, she took him straight to Sayyida Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha, back to her. That, you know what, it's maybe perhaps, you know, this time I was able to see him alive. If something like this has to happen to him again, perhaps I may lose him. Allahu Akbar. Due to the fear of losing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she takes him back to the mother, Sayyida Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha. And then she says to her that, you know what, this is what has happened. I'm worried.
Right.
That perhaps it could be some jinn, something terrible, something evil that happened to him. And Sayyidah Amina radiallahu ta'ala, she's content, she's smiling, she says, no. I know my child, he's destined for greatness, subhanallah. News like this doesn't disturb me because I have seen amazing things happen while I was pregnant with him, subhanallah. And I would see the anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving me glad tidings of his arrival. So I know he is no ordinary child. Allahu Akbar. And this was a little incident, and that's what motivated Sayyidah Halima Sadia radiallahu ta'ala in the first place to return him to his mother. Otherwise, she wouldn't have done that.
Wow, subhanallah, ya azza wa jalla. Everyone wants the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's our desire too, that we want and we yearn for the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we couldn't have it in the world, then we are hopeful that on the day of Qiyamah and in Jannah, we may be with our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, of course, Sayyidah Halima radiallahu ta'ala, she wants Huzur Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with her. And Sayyidah Amina radiallahu ta'ala is so pleased as well that her child is with her. The beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As time went on, actually, there was a journey that took place where Sayyidah Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha had taken Huzur Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam somewhere. And that somewhere we're going to reveal now, inshallah, azza wa jal. That journey took place from Makkah al-Mukarramah. Sayyidah Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha took Huzur Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Makkah al-Mukarramah, and the destination was Madinatul Munawwara, the blessed city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they journeyed to Madinatul Munawwara, and Sayyidah Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha, she also had family there. Oh, beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's lineage also traces up to Madinatul Munawwara as well, subhanallah. So the blessed mother of Huzur Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they went to Madinatul Munawwara, and then eventually they journeyed back. But when they were journeying back, something happened. And what it was that happened was that the blessed mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidah Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha, on this journey back to Makkah al-Mukarramah, she had passed away. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Now our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is without a father from birth and without a mother. The beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's father had passed on before his blessed birth, and he too passed away in the city of Madinatul Munawwara. And now on the way back from the journey of Madinatul Munawwara, Huzur Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mother passes away. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was just approximately 6 years of age.
Allah.
Allahu Akbar. Allah. So he sallallahu alaihi wasallam is taken care of and taken from that area, the area called Abwa, taken back to Makkah al-Mukarramah. And Huzur Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was placed in the custody of Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib. Now Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib is the grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom we just heard a little while ago. We heard about that great personality. He was the caretaker of the Kaaba. He was the caretaker of the well of Zamzam. Now he grows Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up. From that young tender age, just 6, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then loses his blessed mother as well. And she's buried there in Abwa. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is taken back to Makkah al-Mukarramah by the lady who was also taking care of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Her name is, she's known as Umm Ayman.
Subhanallah.
She's known as Umm Ayman, and subhanallah, she's got a beautiful name by which she's called as well, and that is Barakah. Barakah, blessings, subhanallah. So she brings Huzur Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to his blessed grandfather Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib. But now remember that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alhamdulillah, is growing up under a great personality. However, he's lost a very beloved person to him, and that is his blessed mother. Allahu Akbar.
Losing both the parents, Sayyidiyah, at such a young age, and it must have been so tragic. Mm-hmm. For the blessed soul of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know, he grew up, he was born an orphan, yes, by definition.
Yes.
And people would say, but he was born an orphan. But he is such an orphan that took care of millions of orphans, subhanallah, by his beautiful teachings, Allahu Akbar. He has saved millions from becoming orphans, Allahu Akbar, by putting a stop to fighting and bloodshed and so on and
absolutely
so forth. Hilful Fuzul and those events, alhamdulillah, inshallah, we'll come to that. But this was the revolutionary personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being born an orphan. And the Shair says, Sayyidi, ليس اليتيم الذي قد مات والده إن اليتيم يتيم العلم والأدب.
Absolutely.
That the one whose father passes away is not actually an orphan. Orphan is the one who is deprived of knowledge and manners.
Absolutely.
Allahu Akbar. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam grew up to be that savior of humanity. When the daughters were being buried alive, he put a stop to that.
Yes.
When slaves were treated worse than animals, he said, no, they are your brothers. Allahu Akbar. What you eat for yourself, give them the same thing, fair treatment. He once saw a Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam who was beating his slave. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was behind him. And he told him, you know, Allah azza wa jal has more power over you than you have over this slave.
Allahu Akbar.
And he turned back. He said, ya Rasulullah, I free him for the sake of Allah.
Subhanallah.
That was the savior of mankind, our beloved Mustafa
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Understand from the ayah, wa ma arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alameen.
Subhanallah.
The Prophet wa salam is a mercy to the universe. Subhanallah.
Alhamdulillah.
That in every aspect we see that there is mercy.
Yes.
Coming from Rasulullah
sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it is challenging as well that we see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came from such challenging situations, such challenging backgrounds, that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born without a father, that is, his father passed away before he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just as was being mentioned, that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was being taken to the tribe of Banu Sa'd, at that time too, many of the foster mothers did not want to take Huzur Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Huzur Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, he was gifted to this great personality, Sayyida Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha. And at the young, tender age of 6, on a journey, his blessed mother sallallahu alaihi wasallam radiallahu ta'ala anha, Sayyida Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha, she passes away as well. And when she passes away, now this is a very big loss for the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he is taken and placed in the care of Abdul Muttalib. Now this great personality, Abdul Muttalib, he takes care of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's the grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we all know, alhamdulillah, how much grandparents love their children. So subhanallah, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is under his care, and he takes care of Huzur Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam during this childhood. At the age of 6, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lost his blessed mother. Just 2 years later, whilst Huzur Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam is under the care of Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib, at the age of 8, just 2 years, with his blessed grandfather, and his blessed grandfather Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib also passes away.
Allah.
Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. How much of challenges this beloved, blessed, beloved of Allah is going through at his young age. And at that age of 8 years old now, his guardianship is then passed on to his uncle, Abu Talib. Can Mawlana Sahib please share anything regarding the time that the beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent with his uncle, Abu Talib as well?
Yeah, alhamdulillah, Sayyidi. Okay, this entire chain of events of his childhood, subhanallah, there's nothing ordinary about it.
Absolutely.
There's absolutely nothing ordinary about it.
Yes, yes.
Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when children, you know, at what age do children usually start to, crawl and walk and so on? It is mentioned, documented in the seerah, that at the age of only 2 months, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to crawl.
Allah Akbar.
Subhanallah.
When it takes longer than for children to actually sit up.
Yes.
And mashallah, miracle upon the miracle, is just at the age of 8 months, he started to actually converse. And at the age of 9 months, he started speaking eloquent Arabic.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. That was the development milestone of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What many children achieve at the age of 3, maybe maximum, or minimum, you know, somewhere around there. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had achieved it at the age of 9 months.
Sallallahu
alaihi
wasallam.
And it doesn't end there, Sayyidi. When he was born, let's say from there, he was born with his umbilical cord already severed. Subhanallah. He wasn't born, with the his Mubarak body being soiled with blood and so on. There was no such thing, subhanallah. And he was given the smell of musk, subhanallah. And when he was born, the entire area was illuminated with the Nuri Mustafa,
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
He wasn't born crying, but he was born smiling, subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
Indeed, this is shows us the miracle of Rasulullah, even before birth, subhanallah, while being in the womb of Sayyidatuna Amina radiallahu ta'ala, and she mentioned that she could see the peninsula of Sham.
Subhanallah,
the peninsula, seeing the peninsula of Sham from Makkah to Makarrama, subhanallah.
Amazing.
And many other miracles. And in his growing up, his childhood, subhanallah, so much of miracles, subhanallah.
Subhanallah, absolutely extra.
And later on, see, it doesn't, in the later on, subhanallah, children usually play with the plastic toys and so on. What was his toy? Subhanallah. Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, it is mentioned that he says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith that I have seen you in the cradle, that you would talk to the moon, subhanallah, and you would point at the moon. And then what would happen? Whichever direction you would turn your finger, the moon would move in that direction, subhanallah. There's another narration with regards to the age of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was an infant, and how the angel used to rock his cradle, subhanallah. And it is said that inna mahdahu sallallahu alaihi wasallam kana yataharraku bitahriqil malaika.
Yes.
That the blessed cradle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would used to sway and move by the movement of the malaika, by the push of the malaika, subhanallah.
See, subhanallah.
Children, you know, children usually they are adorable, alhamdulillah.
Yes, absolutely.
And all children. But we usually, as humans, we adore children naturally, alhamdulillah. But this was that child which was adored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
Allah says, Allah, Allah, wo, bachpane ki paban, us khuda bhati surat pe laakho salam.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. That he had that surat that was beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes, absolutely. Subhanallah, azza wa jalla. So the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, perfect in so many ways, in fact, perfect in every way. Our beloved Master Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his childhood was extraordinary.
Subhanallah.
Absolutely amazing. It's amazing that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through so many challenges that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lost his blessed father before birth, his blessed mother at the age of 6, his blessed grandfather at the age of 8, and then he went to the guardianship of his uncle named Abu Talib. And Huzur Mulana Sahib, if you can please share with us some of the incidents that could have taken place when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the care of his uncle Abu Talib as well.
Alhamdulillah, Sayyidi. He was under the merciful care of his beloved mother Sayyida Amina radiallahu ta'ala for 6 years.
Yes.
And then 2 years in the care of his grandfather Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But when he came under the care of Abu Talib, and that was the longest period of time that he spent, alhamdulillah. Abu Talib defended him with his own life. Allahu Akbar. Though he never embraced Islam, but his love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was immense, and that much he would believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he knew of the noble nature of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi. He used to admire it. In fact, he used to be proud of his beloved nephew.
Yes,
Allahu Akbar. And he would love him more than his own children. That was his love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And even when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Banu Hashim was boycotted, Abu Talib was there with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam still. Allahu Akbar. When people turned against him in Makkah Mukarramah, Abu Talib was there as a shield between the enemies and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. While he was alive, he didn't let anyone lift a finger on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was his love for the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he knew he is destined for greatness.
Yes.
And mashallah, he brought him up well. He would take care of him better than he would take care of his own children.
Mashallah.
And in this way, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in great hands.
Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. So subhanallah, it's amazing that despite all the difficulties, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still always made means of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being taken care of. And subhanallah azza wa jalla, Abu Talib would keep Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so close to him that he wouldn't even want to leave on journey, leaving the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam behind. If he was to go on a journey, he would have to have Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam close to him as well on the journey. Can Mawlana Sahib please share with us any incident of the travel of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his childhood with his uncle Abu Talib?
SubhanAllah, Mawlana Sahib, you know, indeed, Nabi Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam was very close to his uncle Abu Talib. And there was once when, as Abu Talib, you know, the Quraysh, they were merchants. Mm-hmm. So they would travel out, you know, to do trade, etc. So once Abu Talib was going out to do some trade.
Right.
So Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam insisted if he could go with Abu Talib, his uncle. And his uncle accepted and he took him with. And remember that Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, he went for three journeys, business journeys, before he proclaimed his nubuwwah. Two was to Sham and one was to Yemen.
Right.
Now on the first journey, and he was only at the age of 12, mm-hmm. subhanAllah. When he went on this journey, so the caravan stopped at a town called Basra.
Mm-hmm.
And at that town, there was a monastery. And that monastery had a monk. That monk was known as Bahira.
Mm-hmm.
And when Bahira saw this caravan, Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam caught the eye of Bahira.
Right.
And when he saw this, he saw that what was in the Torah and the Injil was the signs of the last messenger. So what he did was, he invited this caravan, you know, for to stay over, and he gave them a meal, etc. And thereafter he advised Abu Talib.
Right.
He called him and he advised him and said that indeed your nephew is going to rule the world.
Wow.
Your nephew is a mercy, rahmatan lil alamin.
Mm-hmm.
Your nephew, I have seen that the rocks and the trees prostrate to him.
Allahu Akbar.
I have seen that the clouds give him shadow.
Subhanallah.
And I have seen between his shoulders, Allahu Akbar, the seal of prophethood, subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
So I advise you that finish up your trade in this town, Basra, and go back to Makkah. Why is that go back to Makkah? Because he mentioned that there are people in Syria who are the enemies of the final messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So before they attack and they harm Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, do your trade and go back to Makkah al-Mukarram.
Allah Akbar. And so did Abu Talib actually finish his trade and return to Makkah?
Yes, he did. Oh. He did his trade and go back, subhanallah. Because of the, you know, of the fear of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam being harmed, he left his business, he left his trade. That's how much of love he had for Huzur sallallahu alayhi
wasalam. SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. Allah SubhanAllah. Is so great that when we see and we feel like all the doors are closing upon us, then just think of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even if you don't go very far to after I'lan al-Nabuwa, to after the message of Islam had spread as well, if you just look at the childhood of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will learn and we will realize that when all doors are closed upon us, we shouldn't lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal can still make a way for us. As he azza wa jal made such beautiful ways for his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah azza wa jal.
And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while we are on the subject of discussing the relationship between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his uncle Abu Talib, and the uncle also had faith in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that much. That, you know, if I'm going to make dua,
yes,
then let me take Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with me. There was a drought in the city of Makkah, and people requested Abu Talib as being the custodian and being from the lineage of Sayyidina Ismail ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, and being from Banu Hashim. So they would request him to make dua for rain.
Right.
Istisqa. And he would take Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with him. He wouldn't go there alone. But he took his barakah with him, alhamdulillah. And when he took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam there in the vicinity of the Holy Kaaba, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat with his back, you know, reclining on the wall of the Holy Kaaba. And while he was making dua, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed his finger towards the heaven. And mashallah, and it started to rain. Immediately, Allahu Akbar, subhanallah, barasta nahi dekkar abre rahmat, badon par bhi barasa de, barasane wale, chamak tujhse paate hai, chamkane wale, mera dil bhi chamka de, chamkane wale.
Ameen, ameen, ameen. Subhanallah, azza wa jalla. Alhamdulillah, we draw great lessons from this childhood of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, we still have great lessons to learn from the balance of the seerah as well, inshallah azza wa jal. So we are going to discuss the balance of the seerah. We just discussed the childhood of Huzur Ekam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's still the youth of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is so many important incidents that we're going to learn about the seerah, and we're going to take great lessons from that.
Sure.
But for that, we need our viewers of Madani Channel to please stay with us on this silsila. Stay with us on this program. This is the first of 12. And alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, if there's much that we've learned and much that we've been inspired thus far, there's much more that we're going to learn from, and much more inspiration that's coming to us from the seerah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's now our time to take your leave. And inshallah azza wa jal, we're going to be back with you soon. We must thank our honorable guests as well, Mawlana Abdul Qadir Sahib, Mawlana Suhail Madani Sahib. Alhamdulillah, we thank you for joining us. And alhamdulillah, we thank our viewers of Madani Channel for always being there with us, always supporting us, and always being so keen to learn the deen of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah Azza wa Jal take you all with your families, with Murshid al-Kareem, to the blessed city of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen bi jahin nabiyil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Step by step we trace the way. Step by step we trace his blessed way. Step by step we trace his blessed way. Guiding our hearts day by day. Guiding our hearts day by day.